good to see everybody who's out with us this evening. It's always a wonderful day when you get to gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ and worship, serve God, and learn more about Him. And that's what we're doing today. And I'm so grateful that you're here and to be able to spend this time with you. I want to invite you to pick up a Bible and follow along with the things that we'll have to discuss this evening. Webster's, in his New Universal Unabridged Dictionary, defines evangelism this way: the preaching or promulgation of the gospel. There has never been a time, save perhaps the very beginning, there on the day of Pentecost, there has never been a time when the world was in more desperate need of evangelism than it is right now. And there are a lot of Christians who recognize that, and there are a lot who consider themselves Christians who recognize that. And so, a lot of times you see many different books have been written on the topic of evangelism. We actually get, in the office, we get mail all the time from various groups, they're usually flyers, talking about evangelistic symposiums and things of that nature that come to us in the mail. And they're all supposed to do the same thing. They claim to make evangelism easier, to make it more effective, to give us greater confidence as we engage in it, just to make it easier and more efficient. And some of our own brethren have written material on the topic, and some of them have written some really good stuff, really given some solid practical advice on how to make contacts with people. And much of what has been written I would wholeheartedly recommend. But you know, I would recommend another book much, much more highly than I would recommend theirs. Perhaps the two most successful Christian men I have ever known in the field of evangelism, they were not preachers, they were not elders. It's Christian men working out there in the secular world. Those two men have passed on. Unfortunately, they were a force in the kingdom. But those two men only ever read one book. And that book that they read was the Bible. And they read it every day. They devoured it. And the congregation we were all a part of used to do many different things, tried to use many different avenues to reach out to the community. And one of the things they would do every year is they would set up a booth at a little festival or a little fair that the community would have. And so we'd set that booth up, and we'd be sitting out there, and we'd pass out material and pass out invitations. And I remember those two men. We kind of worked in shifts, but those two men were almost always there, and they were never satisfied with simply handing people a sheet of paper. They were never satisfied with that. They were out there seeking to get conversations. And I always noticed they were able to get people to talk to them on a surprisingly regular basis. And they didn't follow any clever plan. There was no special methodology to what they were doing. They were just taking the Bible, and they were patterning what they were doing and reaching out to others on nothing besides what they read there. What a wise and commendable thing they had done. You know, brethren, the more I study the Scriptures, the more I am convinced. A lot of the material that's out there today that speaks on evangelism from the so-called experts is not really about evangelism at all. It's about outreach. It's about advertisement. It's about securing very, very brief interactions with a large group of people in as short amount of time as possible. Now, is that wrong? Is that bad? Not at all. In fact, I would suggest it's a very, very good thing. But you know, simply handing people a piece of paper, a flyer, an invitation, is not necessarily evangelism. It can be, but it is not by default. Congregations these days are doing so much to reach out to their communities. I mean, there are door-knocking campaigns where they hand people an invitation to come to the worship assembly. And there are mail-outs that are occurring. And there are meeting announcements that are being sent around and just on a regular basis. And I am of the opinion that congregations should make all of those things and more a very regular part of what they do, if not a permanent part of what they do. And that is certainly outreach. It puts the congregation's address and contact information in front of a lot of different eyes. But is it evangelism? As the Bible defines it? Is it seeking the lost as the Bible defines seeking the lost? Well, that's what we're going to talk about here this evening, and we're going to do it simply by noting the inspired writers and what they say. Because it's always good to remind ourselves of the Bible pattern on things. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission, one of the well-known passages anywhere in the Bible, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I don't know if you've ever noticed the aggressiveness and the persistence contained within that commission. Have you ever noticed that? He starts off, "Go! Go!" So he tells us immediately this commission cannot be fulfilled standing still. This commission can't be fulfilled doing nothing. This commission can't be fulfilled in the comfortable confines of a church building. In the comfortable confines of a home. He said, "Go." It's going to require work. It's going to require effort. "And when you go," he said, "make disciples. Go to people. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. Make disciples of them." And as you talk to people about Jesus Christ, and as you explain things to them, baptize them. Baptize them. The whole goal is to bring as many to the Lord as we can. And so those individuals, to have their sins washed clean, they're going to need to be baptized. And we don't stop with them after that step. We teach them. We just keep right on going because we want them to become mature. We want them to become strong. So Jesus tells us the pattern for evangelizing is to go to the lost, make disciples of the lost, baptize the lost, and teach the lost. That's aggressive. It is persistent. But what does it look like in action? I mean, it's easy to read a passage like that. But what does it look like when Christians are actually fulfilling it? We don't have to wonder. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Acts. We're going to look at several passages here. And we're going to read all of these. Let's start over in Acts chapter 8. And we'll read in verse 4, and then we'll go to 30 and 31. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. This is right after the stoning of Stephen and the persecution that arose against the church there in Jerusalem. It says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Turn your page. You may need to do that to verses 30 and 31. And here we're going to find the example of Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch was up there reading, and Philip was told to go over and join him. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Turn a couple of pages to chapter 11. And when we get to chapter 11, we're going to read verses 19 and 20. Acts 11, 19 and 20 says this. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Chapter 13 and verse 5. Chapter 13. And verse 5. Barnabas and Saul are together. John's with them. It says, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had John to assist them. Let's go to chapter 16. Let's start with verses 9 and 10. Acts 16, verses 9 and 10. Acts 16, 9 and 10 says this, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Verses 13 through the first part of verse 15. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Let's go to chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. Chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. Paul in Athens. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happen to be there. And let's look at one more, chapter 18 and verse 4. Paul now in Corinth. Chapter 18 and verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Did you see a common denominator there? In every example we read about in Acts, you've got the saints. Some of them were apostles. Some of them were evangelists. Some of them were neither. You've got the saints opening their mouths and speaking the Word of God. Talking about the Word of God to those they were coming in contact with, many of them absolute strangers. And I make that point, brethren, to say this. Spreading the gospel message as it's done in the New Testament and as we see it being done throughout the book of Acts is not merely a matter of handing somebody a flyer or handing someone an invitation and saying, good day. It's more than that. It's seeking the next heart who will accept the gospel. It's instigating conversations. It's looking for people to talk to. Searching for that heart. Searching for the one who will be willing to give it a hearing. Now, friends, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying we should not hand out flyers and invitations. We should do it until our fingers bleed. But let us recognize those things as aids to evangelism, as aids to seeking the lost, as a way to help us accomplish it, not necessarily as Bible evangelism itself. Because the pattern is opening our mouths and talking to people about the Lord. And that tells us something about biblical evangelism. It is a commitment of time, a commitment of energy, a commitment of effort. You know, it's the easiest thing in the world to watch somebody walk past us and say, here, will you take a flyer real quick? And have a good day, and then move on to the next person. It's the easiest thing in the world to do that. It's not so easy to hand them a flyer and say, well, I've got you here. Can I talk to you for just a moment? Are you a Christian? Do you believe in God? Do you go to church?